Here's the deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. We're getting new details about that settlement between federal prosecutors and the Swiss bank UBS. The U.S. had been trying to get its hands on the names of 52,000 Americans thought to be hiding billions of dollars in accounts at the bank. The IRS wants to go after those people with tax evasion. Tamara Keith joining us now from the Marketplace Washington Bureau. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning.
So what are these new details we're hearing about?
The New York Times cites unnamed sources and says there will be specific criteria for which names are handed over to the U.S. The Times says the list is likely to include clients who set up offshore entities to evade taxes and those who had contact with bankers in Switzerland at UBS, either in person or by telephone or by email. Accounts over a certain dollar amount are also likely to be included, but it's not clear what that dollar amount is, and it's not clear we'll ever know what that dollar amount is, because the IRS doesn't want anyone to think they're getting off the hook. And we should say that this case is significant because Switzerland has so carefully protected its bank secrecy laws for so many years.
And you know, Tamara, the Times is also reporting that prosecutors are building this case against 150 wealthy Americans who had money hiding in accounts at UBS. I mean, where did those names come from?
It's not entirely clear where the government got those names from, but it's likely that they got them from an earlier case that was settled back in February with UBS, where federal investigators got about 300 names from UBS. Presumably, they'll be getting information on thousands of additional UBS clients after the settlement that was announced this week is signed. And that's supposed to happen next week.
All right. Tamara Keith joining us from the Marketplace Washington Bureau. Tamara, thanks.
Thank you.
Markets are seeing some green today. European shares are higher right now, under 0.5%. Asian markets were mostly in positive territory. Japanese shares added about 0.75% before closing. Wall Street yesterday, another day of gains. The S&P 500 added 0.7%. The NASDAQ, 0.5%. The Dow closed the day up about 36 points to 93.98. Even if it's out of stock, you can go ahead and reserve it. The government's easing some of the rules for the Cash for Clunkers program as dealerships deal with inventory shortages because of the program's popularity. People who want to buy a new car not available on the lot can now get the rebate if they order from a manufacturer. Shortly after Chrysler went into bankruptcy back in April, it announced it was closing nearly 800 dealerships across the country to get its inventory back in line with market demand. But now it's actually planning to open new dealerships, in some cases not far from the ones that are closing. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Chrysler argued it had to cut loose dealerships to bring supply in line with demand. But Edmunds.com auto analyst Michelle Krebs says it's now clear Chrysler took advantage of its situation to shut dealerships it had wanted to close for some time.
State franchise laws were written largely by dealers. They're very protective of dealerships, and it's very hard to get rid of a dealer, even if they're a very bad one.
Unless, of course, you're in federal bankruptcy protection. Krebs says Chrysler's move is all about location. Even putting a dealer a few blocks away from where it's been for decades could boost sales dramatically. Dealers like Wade Walker in Vermont are not amused by Chrysler's reshuffle.
Why would a auto dealer want to invest millions of dollars and build a facility, build a clientele, all to have it ripped away through a bankruptcy process?
Walker says he's lost 25% of his business since he was forced to stop selling Jeeps. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
If you've got a seance planned for tonight, you might want to call ahead before you go and buy a Ouija board. According to the Chicago Tribune, seems some Target stores have run out of the supernatural games, mainly because of the popularity of the Twilight book series and movie. Target just started selling the boards recently. Could be an economically strapped public wants a little break from reality, or perhaps a message about when the economy will improve.
American Public Media presents the Scratchpad blog. Host Scott Jagow keeps you updated on business news worth talking about. Available daily at marketplace.org.
You know, winemakers have long argued their business is recession-proof, but this downturn has tested that. People are going out less, and that's cut deeply into wine sales in restaurants. So winemakers say they'll need to find new buyers, including one market the business had previously written off. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, Ethan Lindsay reports.
Matt Maloney is a 34-year-old landscaper in Bend, Oregon. On a warm summer evening, he's sipping a beer in a patio bar.
I do like wine, but I drink beer. Wine, I think, has this, maybe not stigma, but some sort of something attached to it that makes it a little more formal instead of social.
Men, on average, say they prefer beer to wine, according to a Gallup poll last year. Industry research shows that women make up 70% of wine buyers. Winemakers are trying to change that. Ted Farthing is the executive director of the Oregon Wine Board.
We're all fighting for share of stomach.
Now winemakers across the country hope to make wine more masculine. Chris Justema is the co-owner of another Bend brewery and bar, Cascade Lakes Brewing. He says wine is more of a dinner party beverage than something to drink while hanging around with the boys.
You know, it's cool for guys to sit around and drink a bottle of wine. Let's not get away from it. But most guys I know at least start with a few beers and then move to a glass of wine at dinner.
Some well-known winemakers have even crafted labels and names specifically for men. Names like Kung Fu Girl, Red Truck, and Maximus. Others are advertising in sports known to attract men. For instance, Sonoma County's Bennett Lane Winery bought a NASCAR racing team and just sponsored a minor league NASCAR race. Just 30 minutes north of Cascade Lakes Brewing, Marigas Winery hosts tasting and jazz shows. Owner Doug Marigas says sports and cars aren't the only ways to appeal to men.
Most men are going to like either red wine or a slightly sweet white wine, just what I've seen. I'm not saying that I actually make it thinking, how can I attract men?
The secret? Just to make good wine. In Bend, Oregon, I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Cheers! Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.